I just want to begin by mentioning something that we're all thinking about, people that we're all concerned for. And at this time, right before Rosh Hashanah, we're hoping this will be the week, possibly before Rosh Hashanah, or certainly the year, when they get freed. So this is in honor of Ehud ben Malka, Eldad ben Tova, Gilda ben Aviva, who we hope are alive and doing well and will be freed soon, and Guy, Zachariah, Yukasil, Tzvi, and Ran, we hope are alive and we hope will be freed as well. When I was preparing the sources, the Mara Makomos, Avi Block, who does this for the Center for the Jewish Future, and I were teasing, my brother has a definition of a perfectionist. It's one who takes great pains and gives them to others. And I'm afraid I was doing the same with Avi, and I see he wrote back to me that his uncle says there are only two kinds of perfection in the world: Hashem's perfection, which is absolute, and human perfection, which is limited to a good home run. And he said that's all the perfection there is in human life. So between Avi and me and all our concern, we still have a mistake in the Mara Makomos. I'll just tell you where it is. It's on the fourth page under Parshas Yisro, where it says number 3, Parshas Yisro, Shmos Chaf Tesvav. Please put a little check or a star next to it. And when you go home, please put in Pasuk Tesvav, which I'll tell you when we get to that part in the sources. By accident, this is Tesvayin that got put in. And it's funny because I wanted to refer to Tesayin, but I didn't really mean to have it down here as a source in the wrong place. So this is Pasuk Tesayin that you have on the sheet. You can mark that. And when you get home, please fill in Tesvav. The themes of Rosh Hashanah, as you know, that we express in the Musaf are Machios, Zichronos, and Shofaros. Are Machios, Zichronos, and Shofaros. We talk about Hashem's kingship, we talk about Hashem's memory, we talk about the memory of the different brisim between us, the different covenants between us, and shofaros. We talk about the blowing of the shofar and what that stands for. You'll notice when you go through the davening that there are 10 sukkim for each, 10 verses for each one. In Machios there are 10, in Zichronos 10, in Shofaros 10, although actually I'll show you where there are 11. This is the way we do things in Jewish life. We call it Shemona Esrei, and we have 19 brachos, and I'm telling you that we have 10 in each, except where we have 11. That's why we have to get a Torah education, because we have to understand why these things happen. Oh, that's what we have to understand also. The invitation says come at 7:30 means 9:30. Okay, just different things that we understand. Okay, when we look at the Pesukim, the reason it's 10 psukim in each category, for Machios, Zichronos, and Shofaros, is that in a certain Tehillah, in Kuf Nun, in Psalm 150, David HaMelech said, Hallelu or Hallelu, 10 times. So that's one basis for it. Again, when you come to that Mizmor, which we're going to look at today, you'll see that it actually says Halleluka twice, besides Hallelu and Hallelu. So you have to know that the Halleluka at the beginning and the Halleluka at the end we're not counting in. We're only counting the 10 Hallelu and Halleluhus in this number of 10. Another reason for the fact that we have 10 Sukkim for each is that remembering the Aseres Hadibros, which is when we first heard the sound of the shofar as an entire people. Here's how the Sukkim come. 3 of them come from Torah, from the Chumash. 3 of them come from the Nevi'im, from the prophets. 3 come from the Ksuvim. 3 come from the writings. Now you would think that the order should be the order in which we usually think about it. Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. And yet if you look in the Matzar, you'll see the order is Torah, Ksuvim, Nevi'im. First we say 3 verses from the Chumash. Then we say 3 verses from Ksuvim. And then we say 3 verses from Nevi'im. And then we finish off with one verse from the Chumash. And that's how we get the 10. 3 psukim from Chumash, from Torah, 3 psukim from Tehillim, and 3 psukim from Nevi'im, followed by 1 pasuk from the Torah. Now, the reason that's given for this order is that we're doing it chronologically. Because, of course, first comes the Torah. Then the Tehillim that we say were all written before the time of the Nevi'im Achronim. And it's only Nevi'im Achronim, it's only the later prophets that we quote. We quote Yeshayahu, we quote Yechezkel, we quote Yirmiyahu, we quote different Nevi'im from the Treyasar. So chronologically, the order in which these were written down and the order in which these were composed is Torah first, then Tehillim, and then Nevi'im. That's how they go in the order that they do. And then, of course, the summing up in a verse in the Torah, a verse in the Chumash, which is the central document of Jewish life. In the Machios, we talk about the eternal nature of Hashem's sovereignty, of Hashem's rulership. In Zichronos, we talk about Hashem's memory and our needing to remember in return. And in Shofaros, we talk about Gilui Shechina. We talk about the revelation of Hashem and the revelation of His presence. Let's take a look on page 2 of the booklets, the first of the pages of the sources, at the first source. The first thing we say is Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Va'ed. Does anybody recognize where that comes from? I gave a little hint by saying it's from Parshas Bashalach. It comes from? Shira. Good. Shira Hayam. And that's when Hashem revealed himself to humankind, revealed himself to the Jewish people, but all the nations of the world heard about the revelation of Hashem at that time. That's when Hashem showed himself to be the Melech, not only over nature, but over history as well. That Hashem could step in and take control of history, supervise history, and take a nation that had been enslaved and take us out to freedom. So Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Va'ed, that recalls Shira Al Hayam, and that recalls the revelation, the revealing of Hashem as the Melech, as the king. The next part we say is Lo Hibit Avin B'Yaakov, that Hashem doesn't see any sin among the Jewish people, among the children of Yaakov. Lo Ara'a Amal B'Yisrael, and he sees no wrongdoing among the, again, the children of Israel, the Jewish people. Hashem Elokav Imo, Hashem his God is with him. Utruas Melech Bo. And there's the word Melech again. In the first verse it was Yimloch, he will rule, and here it's he's the Melech. The trumpet blast of a king is heard among B'nai Israel. Again, I gave a little hint. This is from Parshas Balak. And what do we have in Balak? Who's giving what he thinks is going to be a curse but turns out to be a bracha? Bilam. So this is from Birchas Bilam. And where does Bilam give this bracha? We're told in the immediately preceding pasuk that this is at Seif Sofim El Rosh HaPisgah. He went to the top of a field of vantage. He went to see the future. And here's what he saw, that ultimately Hashem forgives us, and Hashem is the king over the Jewish people. The final quotation that we say in Malchios is Vayehi Bishur Melech, the Hisaseif Rosh Hayam, Yachad Shittei Yisrael. That's the Seif Rosh Hayam, Yachad Shittei Yisrael. This is a blessing for the future. And again, the hint is there. It's Vizos HaBracha. And it's the final words of Moshe to B'nai Yisrael. And immediately after this comes exactly what we should be handing over to our children, because the next pasuk is Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morasha Kihilas Yaakov. That the inheritance we're given, and among the first verses that we teach to our children in Mode Ani, is Hashem commanded the Torah to us through Moshe as an inheritance to the Jewish people, to Kihilas Yaakov. So these three psukim of Malchios are expressing Shira Al Hayam, Hashem in nature and history, are expressing the turnaround, what was intended to be a klala, what was intended by Balak, that Bilam should be giving a curse on the Jewish people, turned out to be a bracha, and that's the irony of Jewish history, that in a certain way, different things that have been done that were terrible to us have ultimately turned out to be a bracha in disguise. Even Golos has forced us to rely on observing the Torah, and we see now that we have the land of Israel back, that if we depend only on the land of Israel, a lot might be lost. We have to understand that we have a dimension of mitzvos as well as the land of Israel. And the Zos HaBracha is the bracha for the future, and when everybody will realize that Hashem is Melech, that Hashem is the king. Next, we come to the three ksuvim, which, as I mentioned, all come from Tehillim. And the first one we mentioned is Kila Hashem Hamulcha U'Moshe Bagoyim. That's talking about the present, that Mulcha, kingship, belongs to Hashem, and He rules in all the nations. And if you go back and you look at Tehillim Chaf Beis, at the 22nd Mizmor, the 22nd Psalm, it's really a Mizmor of despair at first. It begins with, Keli, Keli, lama azachtani, my God, why have you deserted me? And it describes a number of terrible, terrible circumstances surrounding the Jewish people, that other nations come to mock us, they come like a lion to tear us, they come like a group of dogs surrounding us, which may explain the negative relationship with dogs that many Jews have had throughout our history. And we hope that eventually they will all recognize Malchus Hashem, that eventually they will all recognize that Hashem is the Melech. And this is at the end of days that this will happen, Ki Hashem Hamlucha Moshe Vagoyim, that there will be a recognition of Hashem's kingship over all. The next quotation from Tehillim, I think you'll recognize, Hashem Malach, Hashem rules, Geus Lavesh, Hashem is clothed in majesty, Lavesh Hashem, Oz is Hazar, Hashem is very much clothed in majesty, he's girded with strength. Atikom Teva Balti Mot, the world is established and cannot be moved. Where do you recognize this from that we say it twice in Davening? Hashem Aloch Geus Lavesh, Lavesh Hashem, Oz is Hazar. Shir Shal Yom for Yom Shishi. Okay, it's the psalm that we say on Friday mornings. And it's also what we say at Kabbalah Shabbos. It's the last Mizmor, the last psalm that we say when we're greeting the Shabbos. An interesting point is being made here, that we should be aware of Hashem being the king at all times. And that's why a pasuk was purposely chosen that we say every week, that we say on a constant basis twice a week. The world is established and cannot be moved. Hashem is the king over this entire world. And it's something we should be aware of not only in Rosh Hashanah, we should be aware of this all year through. And in fact, while spending the weeks preparing for this talk this morning, I found this was affecting my weekday davening. Because once I realized that it's in the Rosh Hashanah davening, every Friday morning and every Friday evening, this had more meaning for me, that we're thinking about Hashem's kingship all through the year. The same thing happened with the next pasuk from Tehillim. Su'ush arim rasheken v'hinasu pischayalam v'yavo melech hakavod. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory will come in. Well, when do we say that one? We just said it this morning, okay? It's the Sunday morning Tehillah. It's the Shir Shal Yom Yom Rishon. And we also say it when we turn a Sefer Torah to the Aron on days that are not Shabbos. On Shabbos we say a different Mizmor, but otherwise we say this Mizmor. So all these are about the kingship of Hashem, and it's being recognized by all the nations. But there's a very interesting association with Mizmor Chaf Dalet. And in fact, when I discussed this with several people in my family, I found that was the first reaction of a Talmud Chacham to this particular Perek. Because what happened when Shlomo HaMelech was bringing the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash, at the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, he said a number of different tefillos to Hashem, and he was hoping that the Beis HaMikdash would be put to the proper use. So first of all, he said, Gam kol hanachri, asher lo me'amcha Yisrael hu, that even a stranger who is not from the Jewish people should be able to come to the Beis HaMikdash and should be able to recognize, or come to Yerushalayim and recognize from what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash, recognize the kingship of Hashem and recognize what it is, who it is that the Jewish people are worshiping. Because ultimately, in that same description of Malachim, the next pasuk is, L'man das kol amei ha'aretz es shmecha, that all the nations of the world should know the name of Hashem. And we know that Rosh Hashanah has a universal theme. We're very much concerned with what the effect is on the Jewish people, what the part is of the Jewish people. But it's also Hayom Haras Holam, Hayom Yadin B'Mishpat Kol Yitzurei Olamim. This is a day for everyone to be judged and everything to be judged. And we recognize that Hashem is the creator of everyone. There is a universal aspect as well as a particular aspect to Rosh Hashanah. Another pasuk in that parak of the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash is Ein Adam Asher Lo Yachta. There's no person who doesn't sin. And that's kind of reassuring to us because we're so aware of all our failings and we're so aware of all our errors. And this is to remind us not to get lost in self-flagellation, but to think that we can do tshuva and we can rise and come back to service of Hashem. But now here comes the part that everyone associated with this particular parak. The gates of the Beis HaMikdash did not open. The people could not bring, the Kohanim could not bring the Aron in. Until finally, after saying many different mizmorim, and after saying many different tefillos, Shlomo HaMelech said this mizmor, Chaf Dalet, Se'u Sha'arim Rasheichem. And he said, Hashem Elokim, Al Tashay Pnei Meshifecha, Zachra Lachastei David Avdecha. Please, Hashem, let in merit of David HaMelech, and he said this aloud in front of Amba Edah, in front of all the people, in merit of my father David the king, please let these gates open, and the gates open. And the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that when people saw this, those who had hated David, their faces turned dark with chagrin. They were so upset that the mention of David HaMelech could open the gates. Because what did it symbolize? It tells us in Gemara Shabbos, Yadu kol ha'am v'chol Yisrael, shemachal lo ha-kadosh baruch hu al oso avon. Then the entire nation, all of Israel knew that Hashem had forgiven David for his sin, for the mistake that he had made with Bathsheba, when he had relied on the fact that she had a get from her husband, a divorce from her husband, but he gave a very poor impression to the Jewish people that a king can do as he likes, without regard for how people would see it and how it would be perceived. So this is, as well as being a mizmor about Hashem and about the rulership of Hashem, it's also, by inference, a mizmor about Hashem's forgiveness and about the everlasting nature of service of Hashem and the fact that we all have the possibility of entering into that everlasting service. The next pasuk in Malchios, we begin now with the Nevi'im, comes from Yeshayahu. And this is again about Hashem being the Melech, but since we're now into Nevi'im, Achronim, we're into predicting the future. There will come a time, Ko Amar Hashem Melech Yisrael, the Goalo, Hashem Tzvakos, Ani Rishon Va'ani Achron, Imi Baladai Ein Elokim. There will come a time when everybody will recognize that Hashem is the King of Israel and its Redeemer. Hashem has the power, Hashem is Sarkot, Hashem with all his toes, Hashem is first, Hashem is last, and there is no other God beside Hashem. So that's a very clear assertion of Hashem being the sovereign of the entire world. The next pasuk comes from Ovadia, and again, it's about Sof HaYamin, and after a whole discussion for almost the entire Perek about Esav Edom, which are seen as equivalent, coming against the Jewish people, ultimately they will be brought low. And finally at the end, Va'alu Moshiyim Behar Tzion, liberators will go up on Har Tzion, Lishpotis Haresav, to judge Haresav, V'haysala Hashem Hamlucha, the ultimate rulership begins to be belongs to Hashem. And finally in Zechariah, V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. In that time, at Sof HaYamin, at the end of days, Hashem will rule over the entire earth. V'yom havu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Hashem will be one, and his name will be one. And the pasuk, followed two pasukim later, we have V'yashva Yerushalayim l'vetach. And Yerushalayim will dwell in security. Now, to sum up everything about Malchios, what pasuk in the Torah could sum up the entire belief in Hashem as Melech? Taking together Shira Ahayam and the Bracha of Bilam and Vizos HaBracha, and taking together all the Tehillim, and taking together all the predictions that we have in the Nevi'im. The ultimate pasuk to sum this up is in the Eschanan, and it's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And I've mentioned here before a beautiful interpretation that my brother-in-law, Rabbi David Ebner, taught me. Hashem is Rachman, Hashem is mercy, Elohim is Din. That's Hashem as the judge. Sometimes we think those are two separate parts of our lives, that we think sometimes good things happen, sometimes bad things happen. But ultimately we realize it's all Hashem, that even the thing that tested us and that tried us, ultimately, we grew from it, and we became better people as a result of it. And we realize Hashem Echad, that both Rachman and Din are conflated into Hashem. The oneness of Hashem is his Rachman. Okay. Now we go to page 3. And to Zichronos. Okay, the first pasuk, Vayizkar Elokim es Noach, v'eschol chayav eschol ha-behema, asher yitov ba-teva, v'yaver Elokim ruach al ha-arz v'yashoku ha-mayim. So for Zichronos, the first mention of Vayizkar in the Torah comes at the time of Noach, at the time of the flood, when Hashem remembered Noach and all the animals, all the different living things that were with him in the ark, and Hashem caused a wind to go over the water, v'yashoku ha-mayim, and the water subsided. And what was the promise that Hashem gave us at the time of the Mabul? That he would never again cause all life to be destroyed on earth. So that's the first thing. Hashem remembers Noah, and we remember the bris. We remember the covenant that Hashem made that life will go on. The second one is from Parshas Shemot. Vayishma Elokim es Nachasam. Hashem remembered their groaning. Vayizkar Elokim es Riso, es Avraham es Yitzhak es Yaakov. And Hashem remembered his covenant with Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And you remember what that covenant was? That covenant was that we would be working for another nation for 400 years. And Hashem would judge that nation and take us out. But there's two ways that there's different ways that the remembering goes. First of all, we know that Hashem pays attention to us. Because the pasuk right before this is Vayayonchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avodah, that b'nei Yisrael were groaning because of the of all the hard work, and Vayishma Hashem, that Hashem listened. It's to the different expressions of suffering that b'nei Yisrael said. So we see that Hashem remembers, and in a minute we'll see what we have to remember as well. And finally, in Bechukosai. And you know that in Bechukosai, we're given choices. If we go in Hashem's way, how things will be good for us. And the dire consequences in Lo Tishma'uli, if we don't listen to Hashem. So that means that we have to remember our tafkid as well. If we want Hashem to remember the bris avos, to remember the covenant with our forefathers, we have to do our part and obey Hashem and remember what Hashem told us to do. And you'll see that the final pasuk in this section also comes from Bechukosai, and is three psukim later than the one in the first portion on page 4, number 10. The Zachartim Lehem Bris Rishonim, I'll remember the original bris, the original covenant, Asher Hotzei Osameret Mitzrayim Leinei Hagoyim, that I took them out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, in the eyes of all the nations, Leos Lehem Lelokim Ani Hashem. So the Zichronos go both ways. We're counting on Hashem to remember what he told Noah. We're counting on Hashem to remember what he told Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But in Bechukosai Telechu, if you will follow in my ways, in my chukim, in the laws that I gave you that you don't understand, that tells us that we have to remember something also to merit Hashem's remembrance. In Ksuvim, the first quotation comes from Tehillim Kufyud Aleph. We all know that Tehillim ends with five mizmorim, five psalms that have hallelujah at the beginning, hallelujah at the end, five circle poems that circle back again and again on praising Hashem. But we also have in an earlier part of Tehillim, Tehillim Kuf Yud Al, Kuf Yud Beis, Kuf Yud Gimel, Psalms 111, 112, and 113, we also have three prakim that begin with hallelujah at the beginning of Kuf Yud Al, which is the parak that this quotation comes from, and that end at the end of Kuf Yud Gimel with the same phrase, Hallelujah, praise Hashem. And you know that a circle poem means there's no beginning and no end, the same way a circle has no beginning and no end. And that's how our praise to Hashem should be. And which pasuk do we take from this eternal praise that we owe Hashem, this constant praise? Zecher asa l'nifla osav, chanun v'rachum Hashem. Hashem made his wondrous works to be remembered. Hashem is chanun, Hashem is gracious, Hashem is rachum, Hashem is merciful. So again, Hashem remembers us, and we have to see the wondrous works that he has, and we have to remember to praise them. The next quotation is the next pasuk in the same perek in Kuf Yud Aleph, where we say, Teref nasan reyav, yizkor le'olam briso. Hashem gives food to those who fear him. Hashem will always remember his covenant with us. And again, another pasuk in this perek is, Reshes chachma yiras Hashem, the beginning of wisdom is fear of Hashem. Tehilaso omedes la'ad, his praise stands forever. So again, it's something we have to be constantly aware of. This is Zichronos. We're asking Hashem in both cases to remember, but Hashem is also asking us to remember what our tafkid is, what our role is in life. Our role is to be a servant to Hashem, and our role is to fulfill what we owe Hashem, not just to be thinking about what Hashem owes us. Finally, a quotation from Tehillim Kufav, another parak that begins and ends with Hallelujah, that same praise Hashem. And this parak describes all the terrible things B'nai Israel have done, all the avos B'nai Israel have done. It's an entire catalog of what we did at Yam Suf, of what we did at Kivros Hatava, what we did at Egel HaZahav, we made the golden calf, what we did at Meim Riva. We were a very contentious bunch. We were a very difficult bunch. But then we have, in the Pesukim immediately preceding this one, we have here Mem Hei 45. In Pasuk 43, Mem Gimel, we have Pa'amim Rabos Yatzilem, that no matter how difficult we are and how fetchy we were, Hashem still saved us again and again. And Pasuk Mem Dalet, Pasuk 44, Vayar Batsar Lahem, Hashem sees when we're in trouble and when we're suffering. And then we have the Pasuk that we quote, Vayizkor Lahem Briso, Hashem remembers his covenant with us, Vayinachem Kurov Chasadav. And Hashem relented according to the magnitude, the multitude, the immensity of his kindness. So you see that the Zecher is not just the Zecher of Hashem for the Bris. It's the Zecher of what we owe Hashem, and it's the remembrance of things we've done wrong. We've done some terrible avos. The 42 psukim leading up to the ones that we're quoting are all about our misbehaving. But in the end, Hashem sees and understands what Sarah we're in, Hashem relents, and Yizkor Lahem Briso, and Hashem still accepts us. Now to look at the psukim from Nevi'im. The first one is from Yirmiyahu, from the second parak of Yirmiyahu. Halofa karasa baznei Yerushalayim leimor, ko amar Hashem. Go and call out in the ears of people in Yerushalayim, saying, ko amar Hashem, this is what Hashem said. Zacharti lach chesed u'rayach. I remember the kindness of your youth. Ahavas kulo sayach, the love of your bridal days. Lechtech achrai b'amidbar, be'eretz lo zruah. So Hashem remembers some wonderful things about us. What it was like when the relationship compared to a marital relationship began, Hashem being the chasan and our being the kala, Hashem being the groom and Bnei Israel being the bride, and Hashem remembers what it was like then. Of course, the implication is sometimes we've fallen away from that, but we want to go back to that time. Zacharti lach chesed u'rayach, to the beginning when we were a more innocent people and had not yet done a lot of the things that we did that made us merit some of the hard times that we went through. The quotation from Yechezkel, V'zacharti ani es bris yosach b'nimeinu urayach, I will remember my covenant with you from the days of your youth, v'hakimosi lach bris olam, and I will establish with you a covenant forever, an eternal covenant. Now again, looking through all the preceding psukim in Yechezkel, it's an account from psukim tesvav till nuntes, from 15 to 59, it's a long catalog of how B'nai Israel have debased ourselves and how we've behaved in the worst way possible. That Hashem took us as though we were a baby that had been abandoned, washed us, cleaned us, took care of us, raised us. And then I won't go into all the details Yechezkel goes into because I'd rather we didn't behave that way. But we behaved terribly. And yet, at the end of all this, what does Hashem say? What does Yechezkel say in Hashem's name? V'zacharti ani es bris yosach, no matter what you've done, and no matter how you have forgotten the way you should behave from your youth, as a people, I still will always keep my covenant with you. Hashem will still always care for us, will still forgive us, and we will just remember to behave properly. We can still restore the relationship of Hashem. And then, what to me is one of the most moving sukkim in all of Tanakh, Habein Yakiri Ephraim. Is Ephraim not precious to me? In Yelet Shashuim, is he not like a delightful child? Kimite Dabribo, because the minute I speak of him, I even feel a trembling when I read this pasuk. It's such a magnificent pasuk about Hashem's connection to us and our connection to Hashem. Zohar Esperen Wo, I will always remember him. Alkein Hamu may I love. Therefore, my inner self yearns for him. Rachem Arachmenu, I will surely have mercy on him. Ne'um Hashem. This is the word of Hashem. And here, as well as the earlier comparison of a husband-wife relationship, a bride and groom relationship, here it's a parent-child relationship. And no matter what a child does, no matter what, a parent always loves that child. And a parent always delights in that child. And Hashem is asking us, we're his children. He's Avinu. As girls being Malkenu, he's Avinu. And he's saying, look at what you've done. Look at how you've behaved. And still, the minute I think about Ephraim, I yearn for him. I yearn for the Jewish people. And what does Hashem hope? V'zachartu lehem bris rishonim, asher hotzeis yisam eretz Mitzrayim, le'inei hagoyim, li'os lehem le'elokim. That once we've done tshuva, and we should come back to Hashem, we should begin what we began in B'chol Kosai earlier, and serve Hashem properly, and then Hashem will remember the covenant with the forefathers. Now we come to shofaros, and here we have some interesting changes from what we expect. The first part goes kahogen, goes just as we expected. We have three quotations from the Torah, and you'll notice that they're all very close to each other. First from Parshas Yisro, Vayhi Vayom HaShlishi V'Yos HaBoker, Vayhi Kolos Uvrakim, V'Anan Kaveh Al Hahar, V'Kol Shofar, he's the word shofar, Chazach Ma'od, V'Yachrav Kol HaMashner B'Machneh. On the third day after our preparation, in the morning, there were sounds, there was lightning, there was a heavy cloud over the mountain, and the sound of the shofar was very strong, and the entire people in the camp trembled. Of course, what is this preparing for? This is preparing for Matan Torah. The next pasuk follows, Vayehi kol ha-shofar holeich chazek ma'od. Here's the sound of the shofar again, getting stronger and stronger. Moshe yidaber v'ha'alim ha'alokim yanin v'kol. Moshe would speak, and Hashem would answer him. Now, in a way, I'm glad that the next pasuk was put in by accident. It really follows the one we should have, it's Yumi Tezayin. Because what happened? We were overwhelmed at Har Sinai. And what do? Vayomru al Moshe, daber ata imanu v'nishma'a. V'al yidaber elokim imanu penamus. After we heard the first two dibros, we were so shaken that we said, please, let Hashem speak. You, Moshe, but let Hashem speak to you, Moshe. We'll hear it from you, because if Hashem speaks to us any further, we'll be so overwhelmed, we're going to die from the experience. But the pasuk we actually say on Rosh Hashanah is V'chol ha'am ro'im es hakolos. The entire nation saw the sounds, which was the amazing thing at Matan Torah. People could see sounds, and they could hear sights. V'es halapidim, and they saw the flames. V'es kol ha'shofar, they actually saw the sound of the shofar. Their senses were just different from ordinary human sense. V'es ha'har ashen, they saw the mountain smoking. V'yar ha'am, the nation saw. V'yanu'u, they trembled. V'yamdu merachot, they stood from afar. So the word shofar appears here, v'chol ha'am ro'mes ha'kolos, v'es ha'labitim, v'es kol ha'shofar. And of course, this brings up, in shofros, thoughts of Matan Torah, and thoughts of what the Jewish people is ultimately about, and what the basic nature of being a Jew is. And the basic nature of being a Jew is studying the Torah, obeying the Torah, living a life of Torah. And even if we may be overwhelmed, as we were at Matan Torah, so let us get it through Moshe, but this is what our life is all about. The ksuvim that we say now, Tehillim, the first one you recognize, Allah Elokim Bistruah, Hashem Bakol Shofar, Hashem has ascended with a blast, Hashem in the sound of the shofar. This comes from the Mizmor of Mem Zayin that we recite before Tkiyah Shofar. We say an entire Psalm of Tehillim, and it's about Tkiyah Shofar, about the blowing of the shofar. Just to tell you something interesting, again, I learned this as I was preparing. I at first thought that I was going to speak only about Mizmor Mem Zayin, because I've always wondered about the meaning of this Mizmor. We're saying it 7 times before we start blowing the shofar. And what exactly does this Mizmor mean? And when I went to research it, I found out, I thought we've been doing this since the time of Anshei Knesset HaGdola. I thought it was over 1,000 years that we've been doing this, over 1,500 years we've been doing this. No, in Jewish life, it's just a blink of an eye. We've only been doing this for a few hundred years. We've only been doing this for about 400 or 500 years, which is really very little in Jewish life. But it was considered an appropriate mizmor because of the mention of shofar, and because the entire mizmor is about Hashem's kingship over the world, but with special attention to Am Yisrael. Because as universal as Rosh Hashanah is, we are the only ones who really get the full meaning of it right now. And in fact, you'll notice in this mizmor, when you say it on Rosh Hashanah, before the blowing of the shofar, that the fifth pasuk, the one immediately preceding this one that we're looking at right now, is Yichar Lanu Es Nachlaseinu Es Gaon Yaakov Asher Ahev Sela. It's about Hashem choosing the Jewish people. So at the same time that we're thinking universally, we're thinking about all people, we're thinking about the whole world, but we also realize we have a special kesher, we have a special connection with Hashem. The next tehillah, v'chatzotzros v'kol shofar, harilif ne'amelach Hashem, with trumpets and the sound of the shofar, call out before Hashem. This is from Tehillim Tzadiches. It's from the Tehillah that begins Shiru Hashem Shir Chadash, which we say at Kabbalah Shabbos. And again, it's making us aware all through the year, every time we say Kabbalah Shabbos, V'chatzotzros v'kol shofar harilach ne'amelach Hashem, that at Rosh Hashanah time, we're going to be thinking about that again, and about Hashem being the king over the world, the shofar reminding us of that. And that Tehillah also includes a reference to Bnei Yisrael, because it includes Zachar Hasel ve'emunaso v'beis Yisrael. And finally, the last pasuk that we say from Tehillim, not the last, the next to last, that we say from Tehillim, the next last psukim, we say two psukim, Tik'u v'chodesh shofar, v'kesel yom chagenu, ki chok v'Yisrael hu, mishpat le'lekei Yaakov. Blow the shofar at the moon's renewal, blow it at the time appointed for our festival. Bakesa really has a lot of meanings. I won't go into all of them, but we'll just say a time appointed for our festival. Ki chok Yisrael hu, it's a decree for the Jewish people, for Yisrael, mishpat le'lokei Yaakov. It's a judgment for the God of Yaakov. Does anybody recognize where Tiku b'chodesh shofar comes from, which we say every week on Thursday, Yom Chamishi, right. It's the Tehillah for Yom Chamishi. And again, there's that constant awareness, and if only we would be as steadfast in our awareness of Hashem. But now we come to a break in the pattern, because after we've had individual psukim, or maybe two psukim, suddenly we have a fourth quotation, and it comes from Tehillim, and it's an entire Tehillah. It's the entire Kuf Nun. Now I can tell you that it's been about 45 years that I've been aware that there was a fourth from Tehillim here. Never occurred to me to ask. Because when it's just davening, one davens and doesn't think to ask. But there's a reason that we have this whole Tehillah here. First of all, it's the last of the Tehillim. There are 150 Tehillim, and this is Kuf Nun. This is Tehillah 150. Second of all, it's the source for what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah. It's from this that we see the 10 mentions of Halleluhu and Hallelujah. And I told you, don't worry about the extra Hallelujah at the beginning and the end. It's also a summation of all of Tehillim, because this takes in everything we're trying to do in Tehillim. All that we're trying to express in Tehillim is expressed in this final psalm, this final mizmor. What are we saying here? Praise Hashem in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise his mighty acts. Praise him according to the abundance of his greatness. In other words, there's so much to say we can't say it all. We're just giving general categories. Praise him with the sound of the shofar, which is why it's included here under shofaros. Praise him with a harp and the lyre. Praise him with dance, with drum, basof, machol, and with dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and with a flute. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud cymbals. The entire soul will praise Hashem. Now, Rav Soloveitchik says about this, that this sums up what Shira is all about. This sums up what poetry is all about. And this is kind of the quintessential statement of what we're trying to get across in all of Tehillim and in all of our service to Hashem. I also heard something very interesting from the Telzer Rav that my father told me. If you look at this, all the different emotions of a human being are expressed here. Sometimes we're in a happy mood and we're ready for a tofu machol, we're ready for a drum and we're ready for dancing. Sometimes we're in a celebratory mood and we feel that we've achieved something, we've accomplished something, so we're ready for cymbals, for silsilei shamat, silsilei shuah. Sometimes we're pensive and we're ready for the navel, the chinor, we're ready for the harp, we're ready for the lyre. But ultimately, kol hanshamat zahal el ka, the entire soul, all the range of emotions, has to serve Hashem. And what we're trying to do is take all our emotions and put them in service of Hashem. When we're sad, not to get carried away by that. When we're happy, not to get carried away by that. But ultimately to realize we're trying to serve Hashem and to enjoy this existence as much as we can and serve Hashem as best we can. Finally, the last quotations are from the Nevi'im, and they're all about Sof HaYamin. The first one is from Yeshayahu, that all the inhabitants of the world and all who dwell on earth, as if a banner were raised on the mountaintops, as if a shofar were sounded, this will be Sof HaYamin, at the end of days, when there will be a recognition of Hashem by the entire world. The next quotation from Yeshayahu, again, and incidentally, Yudches has plenty about things going wrong, but ultimately about things going right. The same thing with Chav Zayin. We go through lots of suffering, and we make lots of mistakes. In fact, a friend of mine who taught Yeshayahu said she asked her students at the end of the term to sum up in one essay question, what did you learn from Yeshayahu? And she said one girl summed it up in one sentence, not in an essay. Bnei Yisrael are forewarned, they do the wrong thing, the Nabi tells them there will be punishment, Bnei Yisrael do tshuva. And she felt that was all of Yeshayahu summed up in one sentence essay. But ultimately, after we've done all the wrong things, what will happen? V'hayaba yom ha'hu, on that day, at the end of days, a great shofar will sound. And then all who are lost in Ashur, and all who are cast away in Mitzrayim, will come and will serve Hashem, v'har ha'kodesh Yerushalayim. And finally, in Zechariah, this is a parak about Hashem defeating all our enemies. And at the end, Hashem aleihem yira'eh, the Yatzach HaBarach Chitzo Hashem will appear, and his arrow will go out like a flash of light. Chitzo, his arrow will go out like a flash of lightning. The Hashem Elokim Bashofar Yitka, Hashem will blow, cause the shofar to be blown, will blow on the shofar. The Halach B'Saros Teman, and will go southward with storm winds. Hashem Tzvakos Yagen Aleihem, and Hashem will protect us. And to sum it all up, we take a pasuk from Bamidbar that does not have the word shofar in it, because the only other mention of shofar in the Torah is a pasuk in Vayikra that is telling us about Bahavarta shofar ba'aretz at the time of Yovel. So instead, we took, and that's not about the kind of shofar that we're talking about here. Instead, our Chachamim took a pasuk from Parshas Bahaloscha, Uvyom Simchasem Dmoadeichem, on our days of rejoicing and on our festivals, Rosh Hashem, and on our new moons, we will blow with trumpets on our offerings, on our peace offerings, which is really a pasuk that summarizes everything we've said in the previous 30 psukim. It's really more than 30 psukim, because in several cases we said more than one pasuk, and certainly with Kufnun we said all six psukim. But what are we saying here? that ultimately we will bring proper sacrifices, we will blow on the different instruments at the proper times, and we have the word Zicharon here for a remembrance, to remember Zichronos, and we have Ani Hashem Elokechem, to remember Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Malchios. So it's all summed up in this final pasuk. Now, why did we take so many psukim from Tehillim? I think there's an interesting answer given by Amos Chacham, who edited the Perush on Sefer Tehillim for Mosad Harav Kook. And that's what I wrote down here as the final quotation. He said, there are no private requests in Mizmorei Tehillim. And what does that come to teach us? That Hashem knows the ways of people. And people don't have to detail things before Hashem. What we have to do is express our faith in Hashem, and that everything comes from Hashem. Which led me to think about what is it that we're recognizing in Rosh Hashanah. When we recognize Hashem as Melech, when we remember that we owe to Hashem, as much as we think Hashem, we hope that Hashem will remember the bris with us. When we blow the shofar to put us in the mood of Matan Torah, to put us in the mood of trembling before Hashem. What we're thinking about is that we have the false notion that we have control in our lives. And a lot of life consists of people trying to assert control over each other. Nations try to assert their control over the nations. People try to assert their control over the people in all kinds of organizational setups. Sometimes parents even try to assert their control over children, which you all know is a mistake. You have to let children grow up. So control is a very important part in life. But what we recognize ultimately is that human control only extends so far. And that in fact, life is lived at the intersection between Hashgachas Hashem, between Hashem's supervision, and Bechira Chavshis, and our free will. So we think free will, it's everything. It is very important. And it means that we do have responsibility. But we also have to recognize when we just have to say, this is Ritzon Hashem, this is the will of Hashem, and I can't do more. And that's the intersection where life is lived. Between Bechira, between our Bechira Chavshis, between our free will, and between Hashgachas Hashem, the supervision of Hashem. And I'd just like to end with something that inspires me a great deal that I asked a friend to write up and send to me. She had surgery about 10 years ago, and it was a double mastectomy plus reconstruction. So this was quite some surgery that she was going in for. And she asked the different doctors who were there, the surgeon, the anesthetist, the plastic surgeon, she asked them each to come over to her, and she asked each one, this is what she said to each one. I chose you as my doctor because of the superiority of your knowledge and because of your technical expertise. But I know that's not all that's needed to make this operation a success. I'm asking you as a favor to me. Please ask God to place his blessing on you, to guide your brain, your heart, and your hands when you operate on me. Now the two doctors, two female doctors there, were not Jewish. They were surprised, but they smiled, and they said they understand, and they assured her that they would think that God should guide their hand, their heart, their brain. But the plastic surgeon, the anesthesiologist, also very understanding. But the male doctor, who was a plastic surgeon, he stood aside as though, all this doesn't apply to me, and the usual hierarchical relationship. I'm the doctor, you're the patient, I diagnose and treat, you receive my pronouncements and skills, that's all there is to it. You have nothing more to say. But she asked him to come over just as they were about to put the mask over her face, and she asked him, does he have a Hebrew name? He was kind of thrown by that, but then he said his name was Moshe. So she said, I'm going to call you Moshe, just for a moment. And he said, no, it's okay, you can't call me Moshe. And he started speaking about his son's upcoming bar mitzvah. She said it was as though just by calling him Moshe, his entire attitude toward her changed, and now he was one Jew talking to another Jew. She said she was no longer afraid. She asked him for the same thing, to ask for Hashem's guidance. I felt that I had done whatever I could, that the Shekhinah was in the room with me, that whatever was supposed to happen would be as it should be. I was also comforted by the fact the day of my surgery was also Yom HaZikaron, and I hoped that the zchus of all our boys who died on Kiddush Hashem would be with me. But knowing that all the doctors knew that it was in the hands of Hashem, I felt that I was in the palm of the Shekhinah. And then the anesthesiologist put the mask over my face, and I went under. I think, Baruch Hashem, that 10 years later she could write the account for me and help me to prepare this ending. But that's exactly where we're all living, the intersection between our Bechira and between Hashkachas Hashem. May it be Hashem's will that it should be Aksivos Sibatova for us and for all Israel.